Good to see many of you back that have been here before, and I also am very thankful for the 60-some new ones that have never been here before. In this session, of course, I originally was scheduled to have the whole week here, but when my operation came along in my spine and I was incapacitated for quite a number of weeks, I realized that that would probably be a little more than what I would like to undertake. And I rejoice so much in the fact that Brother Ted Gilmer was willing to fill in. And as I see the subjects, I believe, that he spoke on and how God worked in many of your hearts, I must say it was indeed God's will, I believe, for that. Well, this afternoon I'm broaching a subject that I find very, very difficult to speak about. Not many of the things contained in it, but to be understood and to hopefully not make a lot of enemies here, but trying my best to give what I would consider a reasonable and hopefully a balanced view on the subject of the right use of the internet. Now, to title it that is because I recognize that many books are written and articles are written on the dangers of the internet, and I think they have been in your hands, many of them, but I decided to go, even though I must take a look at that, at the beginning, I would like to spend at least, hopefully, the majority of my time on the right use of the internet and how I have found it to be a blessing in my life and very, very useful in the ministry, in business, and in spare time, even some, I would have to say. And I can say that especially in light of my difficulty in physically, when I laid in the rehabilitation center, it was very, very difficult for me. I couldn't sit up hardly at all. And so I was laying in bed with my head raised up, and it was so much easier for me to read with an iPad or I use a Samsung a notebook, 10-inch notebook, and to hold that above my head and be able to communicate and to read or have it read to me was a beautiful right use of it, especially sometimes I was alone in a private room in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep to be able to play the Bible off of that was indeed a blessing to me. I just had that one item there, and I could answer letters and emails to me, and also, like I said, have the Bible read to me when I would have had much more difficulty to try to read it myself at that time, being in a lot of pain and difficulty and so on. So the right use of the internet. Now, the first question I would like to ask, just to take a little bit of an overview and an overview of the group I'm speaking to. How many of you hardly know what I'm talking about and have never been on the internet? You raise your hand. How many have never been on the internet? Okay, I think we have one. That's that about it. Okay, so very evident that I'm speaking on a pertinent subject, and I think you all recognize that. I would say that it is a very, I don't know what to call it. It's one of the most dangerous tools in many ways that has ever existed to broad humanity. And yet, as you notice in my title, I defend the right use of it. to God's glory. Let me read a few scriptures to you in the beginning. In 1 Corinthians 10, we have the scripture, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. If ever those two verses find fulfillment, it is in this subject. All things edify not, but rather, we would say, corrupt exponentially. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Listen to that. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. I have encountered a lot of foolishness in scanning or browsing a bit through Facebook or emails or whatever. I delete many, many emails that come into my box, never looking at them, hundreds and hundreds of them. Not wanting to change my address so I can get rid of some of those things. I've wanted to keep the same address because of my contacts nationwide with various people. But the only way I know to get rid of some of these, this junk is by changing my address. So we see that we're talking about something that nearly all of you have come to connect with, and I just want to give a few brief comments about it. What is the internet? What am I speaking about when I speak about the internet? All right, the internet is a worldwide network that serves as a phone system for computers. Just as a telephone system allows any two people with a telephone to communicate, so the internet allows any two computers or computer users with internet access to communicate. Provides numerous kinds of information exchange. The most important kinds I want to list here are email, which is a worldwide electronic post office. The next one is the World Wide Web, is a giant library of information and electronic shopping mall. The next one is news groups, bulletin boards where people post and exchange information. And then we're talking about chat rooms, a meeting place for people to have live conversations through their computers. And new services are being developed continually. We have the beginning now of internet radio. It's becoming very popular, which again give you access to radios around the world. And in one way can be a blessing for those who are multilingual, I would say maybe, but the next one on the list, of course, will be internet television is expected for the future. Phone calls can be made over the internet, and that is beginning more and more better quality when it wasn't for a long time and very, very economical. And so it's becoming also quite popular. All through our Christian lives, I would have to say, we have had to discern between good and evil. We have never been able to get away from it, but it is majorly enhanced when we speak of the internet. When I look at Adam and Eve in the garden, it has dawned on me in just in the recent year or so how pertinent that whole situation is when I've heard people ask, why would God put a tree in the midst of a garden and then tell them they can't touch it or eat of it? I guess God said, don't eat of it. Eve said, we were told not to touch it. And I suppose both are pretty near right. But that's a very interesting question that all of us need to ask. And it has appeared to me that God is interested very much in the exercising of discernment and restraint on the part of mankind. The reason that he would have put a tree in the middle of the garden and then put all the other trees in there and say, help yourselves, you can have whatever you want. But I'm going to put one in the middle of the garden and I'm going to tell you, don't eat of it. Don't touch it. The day that you eat of it, you're going to die. So it was very poisonous, spiritually speaking, morally speaking, or whatever we want to say there, as you understand. And God put that there. And I don't know how many of you have pondered as to why God would do such a thing, but that is the unfolding of all of life for us. To put us in a world where we are not robots and will not be ushered into heaven without having made a personal decision to love righteousness and hate iniquity and hate evil. And every one of us being brought to a decision and a crossroads where we must choose whether we want to eat of something forbidden or not eat of it. They weren't starved. They weren't limited. They weren't even hindered. They had everything they wanted and everything they needed, you know, otherwise. But oh, it becomes so attractive when we stick something in the middle of the garden and say, now children, don't you touch that thing. Don't eat of it. If you do, it's going to hurt you. And all at once, curiosity rises up in the bosom of all of us, I would say, but especially so with children. And they are trying to figure out why what's so special about this tree that I should not touch it or eat of it. And what would happen if I would? And what would change? And all those things. And that's exactly what happened, as you know the story, and I don't have to go through it. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the internet. There is a good portion of it, and I would say, I don't know what percentage, that is in the midst of our garden today, more so than ever before, although we've always had to deal with these things. I have to think on the day when I was 17 years old, and my father helped me buy a car. And that car had a foot pedal in it, and I would put my foot in it to make it go forward, give it the gas and put it in gear. I think it was a straight shift in those days, back in 1963, I believe it was. And of course, if I put my foot on the pedal, it would go forward. But as you all know, all I had to do was put my foot a little more on the pedal and I could go a lot faster. And if I push it to the floor with a V8 motor on, it would go quite fast and very, very dangerous. And so everywhere I went with this car, I had a choice to make as to whether to put my foot on that pedal moderately or to push it to the floor, squeal the tires, make a show of the pride of life in my heart, and put myself in great danger going too fast in the, as you know, crooked, I think it's the county roads. I'm sure you're acquainted with that, those of you who are from Manitoba or the Midwest. All right, the Wild, Wild Web. The World Wide Web, otherwise known as the Web, is the most popular part of the Internet. Electronic documents known as web pages from all over the world can be examined using a computer program called a browser. These documents also can contain graphics, sound, animations, and even movies. They also contain built-in cross-references to other web pages, which make browsing from document to document very easy. A user can spend hours following one cross-reference after another. The web is popular. It's a popular way to publish information because people can obtain information immediately rather than waiting for something to be mailed to them, which is a great, great asset in business and also in religious research and so on. People can access the information any time of day or night. Information can be kept very current, and there's no duplication or postage cost for the producer. There is little control, however, on it over the quality of information found on the web. Printing a book takes substantial effort, but many of the documents found on this World Wide Web contain frivolous, useless, and erroneous information. Outright false messages, false prophets are using it extensively, and other people with just wild ideas and myths and just whatever, as you know, besides all the immoral things that are on it. There are several ways to communicate over the internet. Emails, the most familiar. Emails, a quick, convenient, and inexpensive way for people to keep in touch. One of the great blessings of email has been what it has done for us in our connection with the mission field. It is just one of the great, great right uses of the internet, that we can connect to Africa and Bolivia, India, China, Russia and Germany and wherever, with those that we are acquainted with, and actually communicate and give direction, and prayer requests can come flying in a flash when they run into trouble and have great difficulty. There are times when missionaries have faced problems that the people back home knew before the mission station did, or the people there. It's just been an amazing thing, an amazing blessing. I think you all recognize that. Email is a quick, convenient, and inexpensive way for people to keep in touch. But it has several disadvantages. It requires a computer and computer skills, which work best only for text. Encouraging quick, shallow communication is not very private. We know that. We've found that out in the difficulty here in the East when we had a few young men that assisted a lady escape to Canada from a immoral lesbian relationship and flee the country, and they were arrested for it. And a lot of that was done by tracing their emails and their cell phone conversations. It's not very private. I understand that practically every email that was ever sent by those men was brought forth in the courtroom. And it's just, between here and Nicaragua or Costa Rica or wherever, different countries like that, they can just bring all this back up and prove what you said, what you wrote, and incriminate you for it. So it's not very private, and it's a new channel for a lot of junk mail, which I experience, and I'm sure many of you do too. And so it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of seeing that tree that looks good for food sometimes, and we wonder, why can't we at least taste it and see what it's like? And so temptations come with it very great. And though in my young days, for a lot of the wickedness and evil that's available on the internet, we had to go to a certain bookstore or gas station to buy those kind of magazines, maybe, that were wicked and evil to that degree. And that took some effort to go there and go in and wonder who watches you and so on and buy a magazine that was pornographic. But now all that has been made very, very simple and easy. And that has put the tree in our front yard or in our house. And yet every day we walk by that tree, so to speak, if we use email or use a computer or a cell phone or a smartphone especially, and we are told, don't touch it, don't go there. In the day that you do, you're going to get hurt. And we have to make a choice and make a decision. This calls for a level of discipline heretofore never pressed upon us. We could always decide to get rid of the television. Men and women have done that in the past to a great salvation of their house and their children, their family, by taking that television, dragging it outside, putting a stone through the front of it. Or as one man did in Idaho years ago, he smashed it down over a fence post. And I was in his home and just blessed him for it. And you know, it was rather easy to get evil out of your house that way. But now, we're in a different world, so to speak. And we are facing a very, very different enemy. Email is usually exchanged between individuals. Chat rooms, on the other hand, are gathering places for groups of people in public conversation. I'd like to make it very clear here along the way, I have never in my life been in a chat room that I know of. I just had early warnings when I got a computer concerning what happens there, and I have chosen just not to go there because of many of the things and dangers that I've heard about them. Things you type in a chat room are immediately broadcast for all other participants to read. News groups, contrary to their name, have little to do with news. They are more like bulletin boards where you can post messages and read messages posted by others. Audible phone calls over the internet are increasing in popularity. Now, may I talk a little bit for a moment on the popularity of what I'm talking about here? Never in the history of mankind, at least not since the world is populated in substantially, has anything been so widely used and so popular, and it's bringing the whole world together into one like nothing has ever done before. There are more than 500 million people that are on Facebook today. 500 million. 175 million are on Twitter. And YouTube, listen to this, attracts more than 2 billion people a day. That would be one-third of the world's population watches a YouTube clip every day, approximately. These things are incomprehensible. The other thing that is so popular with the internet, and especially in Facebook and MySpace, which I know very little about, and some of these other social networking things, that they're asking for you to comment or to at least give a like or a dislike on it. And that is amazing how that brings you forth and your true heart of hearts out for others to see whether you are approving or disapproving. That is of what is being shown or communicated. Maybe it's just a letter or an idea or a concept of something or what you think about something. And I've never seen anything like that, to see that reveal the hearts of many people that I know by them showing that they like something that is being communicated. It may be pictures that are not good pictures at all. They may be sensuous. They may be even immodest or immoral at times, or just out of order, just foolishness. And yet the people line up to click on like. And I think I saw one the other day that had thousands and thousands of likes on it. And I couldn't hardly believe it. The most liked fan pages on Facebook in 2010 was a lady known as Lady Gaga. If you don't know who that is, that's good. But she is extremely, the most wicked, I would say, popular woman in the world. Perhaps still presently. And she gets clicked on, her websites or whatever she does, her pictures, her the ungodly things that she does are just viewed by the world. And Starbucks is another one, South Park. I don't know anything about those. Mafia Wars and Twilight Saga and so on are very, very popular. And the people just flock to them from all around the world to view this ungodly, immoral, naked, or whatever, people or lady, or just plain wickedness. Among the least liked pages, interestingly enough, are religious organizations. Number one, or the least liked. Next would be education, pharmaceutical companies. This is interesting. Health and libraries, where good knowledge could be received, good research could be done, and as I found a blessing, many old things, old books and old men, old sermons, old, you know, where things were sound and decent by many people can be brought up and today who have long died and can be enjoyed. I have found that to be a right use of the internet. Just one more here. People now spend 110 billion minutes a month on social networks. 110 billion. Somebody said that nearly 2,000 collective years each month walk backward, and that puts you in the years right after Christ walked on the earth. You know, so to say that we have quite a situation on our hands, and we are walking almost like a trapeze walker or a tightrope walker between two worlds, you know, of good and evil. And it would be an easy thing if we could just throw this thing away. And I found some radical young men, I think a year ago, or maybe here at the Bible school or some other places that I've traveled and preached. They just said, when is somebody going to take these cell phones and crush them, you know, and he was ready to smash him up against a concrete wall. But I do not believe, for the most part, that that's going to be wisdom. I think this technology, some of it, is here to stay. However, I may change my tune in years to come. Where this thing is going to take us, and where all it will bring before our faces and eyes, and minds and hearts, I do not know. I do believe it will be a tool in the Antichrist's hands, but it is also a tool in those who are preaching the gospel and bringing the great message of truth to people. The internet is affecting many aspects of your lives. You can shop, bank, invest, look for a house, check the weather, read the newspaper, have groceries delivered, get medical advice, and much more. A computer is not required. Car radios and cell phones with internet capability are available. They'll do it all for you. Researchers are working on connecting even home appliances to the internet. You will become harder and harder to avoid the internet in the future. Very, very handy. Just alluring, I would say. You know, my wife and I live by ourselves. And when we leave for a weekend, we turn the thermostat down. Well, today, you can just put a thermostat in, and when you're 50 or 100 miles away from home, you turn the thermostat up on your phone, and when you get home, it's nice, cozy, and warm. Where for us, when we get home, it's chilly, and we sit there and shiver for an hour or so with a blanket around us until the house warms up. But the internet is changing all that. That's just a little bit of an overview of that. But I do want to talk a little bit about dangers just so that you know this thing is very, very real. Friends of mine, others I keep here are falling on the internet. And even though all that I'm going to say on the right use of the internet, nevertheless, many, many are falling also. Jake, not his real name, was a good guy. He had been active in his church for many years. He was a deacon helping the church to reach out to young families. Previously, he taught a Sunday school Bible study. He had a beautiful wife, Sarah, and two small children. Then he began to spend time on the internet, sometimes late at night after everyone had gone to bed. He got curious and began visiting erotic chat rooms. There he met a woman from another state who was also married and had a child. They began to chat regularly on the internet. Last year, Jake left his wife and children, moved in with a new internet girlfriend. Eventually, he divorced Sarah. Now she is a single mother, trying to make sense out of the shock and the heartache. Pastors are doing it. You know, due to the privacy of their study and having a computer on their desk, run into discouraging times in the church or in their ministry, fall into incredible temptations to get some kick in the flesh, so to speak, and just with a few clicks of the mouse are able to go to places where that happens mentally and physically to you. And I think James Dobson, which I do not advocate as a sound teacher, but he is into this problem so deep that he doesn't believe there's a cure for it, that you have to battle it the rest of your life when you go down that road and break down those walls. And I think he says that 70% of all pastors, deacons, and so on are affected by it. And so we have something on our hands like that that are just incredible. And so that's why I would say, and not only this, but the same way with, I'll try and give some other recommendations, perhaps, how to protect yourself. But I would say never go in a chat room. There are perverted people there seeking relationships with children. And it's just, I think, a weekly occurrence in the Lancaster County News of this kind of trouble and difficulty that are happening all the time. And how many are happening that are never reported and that we never find out about. The content or the danger of this is great. Let me just read some biblical warnings and give you some examples. No, this is not the internet, but we all know that we deal with these things, and mankind always has. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he committed adultery by being where he shouldn't have been, looking where he shouldn't have looked. Proverbs 7:26 says, "Many strong men have been slain by her," referring to the harlot. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, let women turn his heart from the Lord. Samson, the strongest man who ever lived, ruined his life through immoral relationships. 1 Corinthians 10:12 warns, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Proverbs 9:17 says, "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but the dead are there." Even mature Christians are susceptible to secret sins. Ezekiel 8:12 says, "Hast thou not seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chamber of his imagery, for they say, the Lord seeth us not." A very pertinent verse to our time and our day when you can, if you have a phone that has internet access, in the privacy of your bedroom, go places under the covers or in the privacy of a closed door. Boyfriends, girlfriends who are not courting or not even have no connection made through authorities, through the church or the parents, making contact with each other, beginning to share their hearts one to another. The first time may seem very innocent and plausible. But finally, it becomes intimate and it becomes too close. And the next thing you know, there's a bond is made through communication that should not be made out from under authority. Not only that, pictures can be sent of each other, and just a lot of dangers come in with those things and are there for you. So be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You may sincerely intend never to go seeking wicked things on the internet, but be assured that someday the devil will bring it to you. The strange woman lieth in wait at every corner, Proverbs 7:12, to catch a young man. Now I would like to say, first of all, please bear with me, that in the fact that I am giving the subject as the right use of the internet, that some may accuse me of promoting internet use. I would like to say very quickly, and I wanted to say at the beginning, that I have high respect and regard for those that deal with it in their own way. I've dealt with a lot of churches and asked a lot of churches and ministers how they deal with it. And I've come up with many different methods and ideas and accountability programs and all kinds of things to help this problem. And I give the highest respect to those who may even say we want absolutely nothing to do with it. There are those, even though that I have been come to the persuasion that that is not the answer for this technology. There's too much opportunity for good in it, perhaps for myself to go there, which I consider a bit extreme to just somehow try to isolate yourself from all these influences of evil. I just feel that God's grace will help us and will be sufficient if we are open, transparent, accountable to one another, willing to confess our faults one to another, and to wrestle with evil and with the devil in these things to come through victorious and to take the good and shun the evil. And I also want to say, and I'm sure you realize, that the internet is not the only method for evil and wickedness. There are magazines still out there, still being printed. There are billboards. There's places you can go where temptation is very real, and you'll encounter inappropriate images, newspapers, and so on. All right, let me go through what I have found to be what I believe is the right use of the internet, and just share with you some of the and try to provoke you to put these kind of boundaries and these kind of incentives and challenges before you to do the same. You may do them different than I, but I'm just giving you some of the ideas and some of the things that I have done. Somewhere along the way, I met a young man. He came to Bible school here many years ago. He now has had children here in Bible school. He once told me at work that if you view inappropriate sites, especially the bad ones, the real bad ones, he said it's like burning a hole in your brain. You can just hardly ever heal that over. And that's very true, I believe. What little I have known about those kind of things and the few times in my times when I made a few mistakes in that area, I recognized how years go by and you do not forget those images. That's what he meant. And I determined somewhere years ago along the way that I don't want to deal with that. I don't want holes in my brain. I don't want images to come up in front of me when I kneel in prayer, when I try to get close to God. It just put a wall between me and the opportunity for some of those things, because I didn't want the effect that it would have and that I'd have to then deal with and struggle with. yes, a moment of pleasure, a moment of thrill, or a moment of wow, or something like that. And then you deal with this thing for the next 30, 40, 50 years to have those images to be able to be recalled by this wonderful brain that God has given us. But anyway, I just want to say I want to respect whatever methods your parents are using in your home to try to help you. I do not recommend private use of the internet in a young age. Not at all. I don't think that you should put yourself in that temptation when you're really young. When you're older and you're more mature and you have exercised discernment against good and evil, then it is much, much safer to let you go, just like it is to finally give you a driver's license and let you behind the wheel and put your foot on that throttle and go down the road and yet drive safely. It is not a toy. What we have here is not a fun thing to just have and play around with. It's not a toy. And I would like to include cell phones and smartphones in my presentation here. Some of the things I'll say apply to them, like the private use in your bedroom. I do not recommend having the internet access in your computers in the privacy of your bedroom. In a family, I would recommend to have it in an open place, in the dining room, or in a corner of the dining room or kitchen or somewhere where your house is free and open with the screen pointed outward to the main room, that your parents can walk by, your brothers and sisters can walk by, and you don't have that temptation that you're going to go check out something very secretive, very private. And that's a great help, I believe, to introduce it that way. The other thing, of course, is the accountability where another brother, another sister gets an email or a recording, gets a record of wherever you have been. That's a tremendous help likewise. Some also have recommended split passwords, where you want to go somewhere, use the internet, you have half the password and your mother has to come put the other half in, or someone else in the family. Many ways like that can be devised, and maybe I'll talk about them some later. But the cell phone, I would like to say, or the smartphone especially, and the reason I say what I do on the smartphone is that that's really the way everything is going. I would expect in a few years it's going to be difficult to get a regular cell phone that doesn't have internet access. But it is more dangerous than a computer because of the privacy issue. You can use it day or night, wherever you go, wherever you are, and you happen to be alone, and explore whatever you want to explore without anybody seeing it. So the smartphone without some safety device on it, or some kind of a filter built in, which you can get on smartphones, it becomes one of the greatest discipline struggles that you'll ever face in life about it. To have a smartphone, an iPhone especially, or an Android with internet access and a nice size screen, and you have unlimited access, you would say, to the internet on it. That is the most dangerous tool probably in this whole matter. And that's the reason that I've chosen that I want to teach and lay the cautions out there that when you pick this up and you're going to use it like you all have about you can put that guard. I resisted getting a computer for a long time. My son got one in the business and I let them handle the thing, and I just didn't want to go there, you know. But finally I broke down when my records and my accounting and everything went on the went on the computer. Then I likewise broke down and got one. And I tell you, it was a scary thing when I first sat in front of that thing and turned it on and had no idea how to handle it. And I began to go a little here and there, you know, very cautiously, and And I soon found out, you know, there's some places you go and some places you don't. And that helped me very early on to lay some of those parameters in my life. My, how that has helped me over the years too. You would never put a search in concerning certain words that you know will take you to those places. The first thing, like I said, is communication. The blessing, the right use of communication. Never is that so real to me as after being laid up for 8 weeks here. Now about, since my operation, I think it was maybe 7 or 8 weeks on Monday. And the blessing I soon had as I got into the out of the hospital in 4 or 5 days and into the rehab center and was totally confined to my bed there, almost totally. I did soon do a little bit of therapy. But to be able to communicate with my churches or friends or people at various parts of the world and even have them email me their prayers for me, that was a blessing. And also it was helped me so much with time. I had access to many good things. I even could maybe do a little research on a given subject that I long ago wanted to do and didn't have time. And I found that a real blessing to be able to communicate freely and openly. Some of you would not be aware of the fact that there are certain, the plain people have certain chat lines that are dedicated totally to those groups of people. And I have friends on there that I could go on and communicate with, and they would ask me how it's going, and evenings, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, maybe with someone in the Midwest where it was only 9 or 8, and I was able, we were able to talk and say how it's going, and also there are much, much spiritual conversations that we've been able to take place on those. So the communication was really a great thing for me while I was laid up there. The other thing is a great, is a right use of it, is alerts. When a crime takes place and the criminal's on the loose and he's armed, you know, they can put an alert out, give you the description of the man or the vehicle, and you immediately know, and it has been a great asset in apprehending those criminals by everyone knowing it in the area and being able to help the law identify the man as he drives down the road or is seen anywhere. The same is true for tornado warnings or other bad weather, bad storms. That also has been a good thing. Also, there's a mark of safety with a cell phone that I think for our children to have when they go away evenings or go anywhere, snowstorms or wherever they go and run into trouble, car trouble, rather than sitting along the road alone with a flat tire, not knowing how to change it, they're able to communicate back home, and Dad can go help. Or just if you run into a dangerous situation, there's a great safety measure in having a phone with you. Other things, there are many other time-saving devices that yesterday I experienced one. My wife took me to pick up a pickup truck that we bought and had a lot of repairs done and just bought a cheap one that we wanted to use to plow snow. I took it to the garage and I thought it was all finished. I took the license plate and the paperwork, insurance card down, and I was going to drive this thing home. And my wife said, "Well, what should I do? Should I wait on you here or shall I go?" I said, "Well, I think you can go." Walked into the office and the office man went to get the mechanic, and the mechanic said, "Hey, that thing's not drivable yet. We have an oil pan ordered that was rusted out in the bottom, and so you can't really drive it." So I quickly called my wife, who's only a mile away, instead of waiting until she's all the way home. 12 miles away or 10 miles away and then get her to come back to get me. She just made a U-turn, come back, pick me up. So there's many, many great advantages that way. Most of them have a clock, so it's not necessary for you to carry an expensive watch. You have your timepiece with you if you have a phone. Weather and the weather radar especially has been a great help to us as to plan our days and knowing as to whether we should hang out the wash or not because it's, there's a rain coming our way into, in the next hour or two. Many other uses to plan the day. Especially here, we have a flood condition here in the building, and we can monitor the rise of the water down the road a mile or more, and can prepare for it before it gets here. And also watching the radar when we expect the rain to be over. The greatest benefit, those are maybe peripheral, but they're there, and they're very useful. And we can't deny that. But probably one of the greater ones is the use of Bibles. I have 3 German translations, English translation, and probably a couple of them, although I don't use more than the King James, usually. And I have the King James Bible that reads itself to me. One of the great benefits I have is when evenings, we usually have our devotions, my wife and I, in the morning. But then evening, when it gets late, I like to lay on my recliner and take my pad, Samsung pad, and listen to 3 chapters or so out of the Bible. Read to me in a very clear tone, just lay it on my lap and listen to the Bible. That has been a great help. I have translating software on there. If I go in a foreign country, I do know the German language, and when I have a loss of a word or so, I can just so easy put the English word in and get the German word in a half a second or so. That has been a great thing. But this whole matter, Bibles in concordances and treasure of scriptural knowledge. You can find other verses on a given subject or cross-reference on the scripture. And it's so nice. On Sunday afternoon, we can be together if you have your phone with you, you know, and we get stuck. Where is that? And we can just find it very quickly, read the scripture. And I found that very, very interesting in a good way to use it. So there are many things like that. And you know, and the... There's more power in a cell phone today than in a 30 by 30 room of computers when I worked at a poultry processing plant in the 1970s. You can put the whole Matthew Henry commentary on and dictionaries and Bibles and even those that don't need internet access, you can download them and they're there permanently like and you can pull them up when you don't have service. Another thing we have used it very much for is music and singing. We hardly ever use a CD player anymore. Occasionally on our computer, if we get a CD you want to listen to, but a lot of our enjoyment of singing and music is on the internet. And we can select the right kind. We don't have to go out and buy $16 CDs today. We can just choose the kind of songs we want, many of them, and listen to music. And my wife and I, we enjoy at the end of the day sometimes, very comforting, very soothing, restful type music as we come to the end of the day. The other good thing has been messages and sermons. The right use of the internet has been a tremendous help to me, even in the ministry for messages and sermons that can be dug out of antiquity, historical messages that are read off into the internet, and they are not being read as they were preached by D.L. Moody or Spurgeon or some of those, but nevertheless, somebody has done that And you can actually listen to some of those messages very, very accurately as they were preached. The other good thing is evangelism. And here I would just like to give you the biggest challenge. It would be and could be an evangelistic tool and a tool for the encouragement of righteousness if only we would use it. And I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with us. But it's just so few people use it in that way. There are some, and I appreciate them, God bless them, who that's about the only way they use it. Maybe to give some important news, or to give a thought, or a scripture of the day. That's their post. That's what they promote. That's what they put out. A beautiful sunset, a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful scripture across it, and what happens blesses everyone that you're friends with. But what is happening today, so many times it's like this like and dislike thing. We don't have the grit, we don't have the boldness to declare something to be wrong and to comment on it accordingly. Now, sister, I don't think that's appropriate that picture you posted of yourself there, you and your friends, you know. And I think some of you realize the liberties that have been taken there with just bizarre face distortions and some of the ugliest pictures that we wouldn't have thought of. Just look at your grandparents' pictures someday. And you see them all dressed up in a suit and sitting properly in a chair, and maybe the mother and the father to the side or the other way. Everything completely proper in every way. Can you imagine that compared to the photography of the day? And my major pick is with these selfies. I believe that is the proudest thing for you to take 16 pictures of yourself in every different pose that you make and spread it on the world to see. First of all, I don't believe in exploiting natural beauty to that way. You do that at 16, 17, and 18, and I must say you're a beautiful young lady. You're bright-eyed, and your hair is nice looking. And here you turn around and take pictures of yourself and throw that on the internet for the world to look at and have all kind of thoughts or whatever. I don't understand. It's just, it seems like this thing come in little by little, and we forgot what we're doing. So we gathered together with our friends. Like I say, guys do it the same way, boys do it the same way. Gather together with our friends and all do something, different or bizarre or whatever. So we can just kind of entertain everybody of our friends by accomplished a picture like this. But the big thing that I have is for you yourself to promote yourself for the world to see. You ask yourself the question today, why do I do that? What makes me do that? That I think that much of myself, that I want all these people, wicked or not, or Christian, to be able to view me and see who I am. You ask yourself that. The Bible calls for separation. Never has there been a greater area, probably, that requires separation than the internet or Facebook, if you use it. Even though there are many cautions and many rules to not go there and not be a part of that, I have found that also to be used to God's glory and to be used detrimentally and not to God's glory. If you apply these scriptures, they can be a real thing. Like I said, to promote good things. One of the things I've found in the last couple of months, as I've had a little more time being laid up like this, and somebody turned sick or had an accident, or there was a call for prayer in South Carolina or Georgia or somewhere across the United States or in Bolivia or wherever, and we are notified within a minute that there's a desperate need here. Please pray for us for this given situation. Some amazing things have taken place because you can alert hundreds of people to pray for you or to pray for a given situation. Or otherwise, it would take hours, perhaps days, for people to find out that there's a need. And so I find that a right use of Facebook or a right use of the Internet. Maybe some other, I don't know about, you know, MySpace would probably have the same thing, like I say, or Google Plus or whatever, but I'm not acquainted with those. But separate yourself from the foolish. And I don't understand, like I say, why can't you rebuke someone? And I'm sure you'll probably say, well, they'll unfriend me. And I won't be their friends anymore. And that's probably right that they would, but righteousness would be done. You know, when someone, we had this fad going on, maybe a couple of years ago, where young girls would go to Walmart and buy a whole outfit of clothing. I guess, maybe Goodwill or somewhere where they were used and it didn't cost much. And would dress up as a worldling, earrings and all. Post it on the Internet. Can you imagine for the world to see them as a worldly girl? As a joke, perhaps. And things like that should be challenged. Somebody should immediately say, I am shocked. How can you do that? That is not right, you know. I'll pray for you that God would help you and open your eyes to these things. And the same is true for other being at the beach, immodest postures, immodest, all kinds of things that are not appropriate for even to be seen by just a few people. And then to spread it out there before the eyes of prying, wicked, evil men and women, and they can figure out where you live, about the approximate, you reveal where you work. I tell you, it's dangerous. Dangerous what you're doing in some of those things there. So be sober. Be vigilant. Wake up. Consider these things and what they mean. I'll probably speak about some of these things tomorrow, but this photography is going totally bizarre. You know, the amount of pictures, and it's because, of course, again, that we have cameras on our phones, and we always have a camera with us. And there, again, there are great benefits of that in business sometimes, and like in our trucking business, we open the doors of a truck, and the load is messed up. We take a picture of it, send it back to the company by email right away to show them the condition the product was in and that it's damaged. And we cannot receive this product this way, you know, without them acknowledging what we found. Great benefits. But, again, to just take pictures of everything and post them, hundreds and hundreds of them. And I think that we really ought to take a mature look at that. I don't think pictures are wrong. I don't think they're blatant idolatry. But I do believe they could develop that into that. I do believe it gets borderline when we think so much of ourselves that we must take that many pictures. Travel arrangements. Great benefit of the Internet. We can search for the cheapest price. And I think you all know, and I know, that we have found tickets many times at nearly half the price by just using a little time in the right search engine and be able to find out, find a ticket to take us somewhere for an important meeting like this one at a very reasonable price if we take some time to it. Very good thing. I use it extensively for my own travels. My wife and I buy our own tickets that way. Online banking is also a blessing. Finding out what our balances are, up to date. We make a deposit and go home 15 minutes later on a drive home from the bank, and it's already on. So when they receive it at the window, it is immediately put on. And so you can always know where you're at, what your balances are, and can check your own balance, checkbook balancing with the online one, or as I do, I don't even balance my checkbook anymore. I just use the online one. It's kind of an easy way out. Another one is language study. That is a great blessing again. Before our trip to Europe this year, we went to Germany with our team. Some of the young people immediately began to study German. I was amazed how much they got accomplished by the time we got over there. That they could understand much more of what was being said and could actually converse in a few sentences and words back. But in general, language study, and for myself, how my language is kept up to date by reading German newspapers or German, I don't do a lot of that, but German books or Christian literature. And I'm able to keep that up. The other thing I greatly enjoy is the study of history. I only had an 8th grade education, and so I never knew world history. I only knew American history. And so I missed out on all that later in life. Now, especially, I'm able to understand the whole thing of the Ottoman Empire and many other things, and can decipher a lot of these things which seem to be in coming alight in prophecy today. And education in general. Remember that I read, that's one of the things that is liked, disliked the most. But you can get very good education. You can find out how to fix almost anything that exists on the internet with not only pictures, but slight little clips that show you how to take it off or put it on or give you detailed instruction with pictures exactly how to do it. Great help. Great blessing to us in business or mechanics, or you have a car, you can't find out what the problem is, go to the internet, put the symptoms in, and come up with an answer. Another big one for me, and especially here, and there's a sister here today, that actually, after having much research done by maybe doctors or whatever concerning her physical problem, couldn't find, never come up with the answer. She began to do the research herself and putting her own feelings, her own symptoms, and checking it with, and came up with her problem, and was able to have an operation, have it taken care of. And so medical research, and for myself, even in this condition, has been a great help. Likewise, to understand what is being done and check other opinions and medicine warnings of side effects of medicine. Just many of those kind of medical things are a great help in the right use of the internet. Shopping is another one. We all know what it's like to be frustrated trying to find a given thing, going to the third store to try to find it, and it's not available, or we can't find it. We still haven't been to the right one. We just sit down, describe it on the internet. It's available in 3 days, sometimes 2 days, and with a little shipping fee, can have it brought right to our door. I have found that especially those of us who are getting older, and we don't like shopping malls. We don't like to walk a mile to look for things. And so it's so much easier just to shop on the internet. One of my personal ones, one of the greatest ones that I've used, is discernment ministries. Discerning doctrine, practices, false prophets, and finding out who these men are, what they do. And that is a wonderful tool. There are so many ministries that have exposed these men, exposed movements, exposed their very meetings and what happens at their meetings with videos. And we are appalled. Well, we think that they were fairly popular men, or might have read a book that they wrote. Finding out they are false prophets and they are not men of integrity, or they are in divorced and remarried. We want nothing to do with them. But all that research can be done. We can find those things out, find out who these people are, and have proper discernment. And we always have to be careful and pray some over right information, because we have to stick with some reputable sites there and not just any man's opinion. And they're there. It's a great help in business. We don't know how we could have operated without the use of the internet, by connecting various people at home in their office and plants and so on. Just a few ideas on the cell phone yet. GPS. I used to carry a GPS with me, only to find out it was outdated a year later and so on. But now I never buy one anymore because I have one on my phone. And I can go to Germany. I can go to Canada. We got stuck in Germany trying to go a certain... had a traffic jam trying to get a detour around it. And our driver got lost and didn't know where he was. And we were able to pull it up and find out where we were and how to get out of the situation. Very helpful in Canada. Likewise, I travel into Canada a lot and are able to use it there. Of course, the camera, again, has some use but is also misused. The calendar is a great help to me as you get forgetful. And on Tuesday night, I had an appointment here. I didn't put it in my calendar and totally forgot it until today or yesterday. And so anyway, that is a great help. And so there are many more that I'd love to give. And there are many more dangers that I know. I think a person should probably speak on this subject for two or three times. But I decided only to give this in. We must face the reality of this thing and its dangers, and then look at its blessing and the right use of it, and go after those things that edify. Not all things are lawful, maybe, but all things edify. Now, maybe we can watch this or that clip or that YouTube, but if there's no edification and it doesn't build us up, we have to be very careful. On the contrary, it pulls us down. Do we just trash it, throw it away, and have nothing to do with it? Go into the boonies somewhere and eke out a life in the wilderness and not have anything to do with it? That is not my choice. And I think for the most part, it's not yours. However, like I say, I want to be respectful for those who are very cautious and have high accountability in the use of it. So, let's respect one another in maybe the various convictions that we might have, that we can do this thing to the glory of God and save ourselves from the pitfalls that the devil has set up. Where is he going to take us with this thing? I don't know. I'm fearful about that when I hear about virtual reality and some of the things that they're planning for in the next 3 years. I like I say, I may have a different message. And we have to do something more drastic. But that's where I'm at this time. And I just want to thank you for listening. And I hope that I have been at least somewhat balanced enough to encourage you to be a Christian in it all, and to know when to turn away from that tree in the midst of the garden that God has said, don't go there, don't touch it. In the day that you touch it, you're going to die or you're going to get hurt. And so let us take that very carefully and soberly and live for God's glory. Thank you very much. I'll turn the time over to the moderator.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.